Here we are in a follow-up Friday. Lots going on already today. What a great morning. God showed up like he does every day.
That's right. This ain't our show.
No,
we're just here.
So let me tell you, Janelle, you got a note.
Usually people
write in and go, Brian, I got a problem with you.
It was a long note, and it started off with, I got a problem with something Janelle said.
And then I, jumped around. And said, we better talk about...
It's about time, it's not me. You know what we're about to do? We're about to get real. We're about to have conversations that Christians have behind closed doors, the scary ones, the ones that make you feel uncomfortable. That's where we're going. Why? Because we're family. Ustedes son mi familia.
So this is the Brian and Janelle podcast. She's Janelle, and I'm Brian. If you don't want to miss anything, all you have to do is hit the subscribe button to get a notification whenever we drop a new episode. This is the Brian and Janelle podcast. So, Janelle, hello. Someone is saying, Janelle, you're wrong. I've been waiting for this for years.
A long time. Well, the day is here. So we got an email from Arthur Brown. He loves our show.
Aww,
and that was super cool. Yeah, I know, right? He loves the topics that we cover in our courageousness. I think he was talking about me when he said that. But he had an issue with our conversation with me, basically. We were talking about pro-life versus pro-choice, but specifically abortion and the woman and the baby. We were having a conversation about that. And he starts off by saying, my comments and the focus of this letter is in reference to something Janelle said in reference to the needs of women who find themselves pregnant and considering abortion.
Yeah, and just as like a side note, what we were talking about was all the losses in the Supreme Court tied to pro-life issues recently, in the last few weeks. And we were talking about a public opinion regarding abortion is moving further and further against Christian ideology and biblical thinking. And so what we were talking about is, do we need to rethink our strategy here in order to save babies? And you were talking about the mother.
Yes, our strategy in particular being solely on protecting the baby's lives. But we were talking about whatever we're doing, it feels like we need to change because we're not getting the results that we want. So he said, the mom, potential mom, they need our help. Yes, they need our compassion. Yes, they do. They do not need to be judged or condemned. So he agreed. And I love that he saw the spirit of that, that the women need us and they need grace of God available in Christ Jesus. Absolutely. But then he said, they are not the priority. Arthur said, the child is not more valuable than the mom, but is at greater risk, and the mom must be held accountable. And so in terms of his point and his position, he says, I want to magnify this. The baby has top priority. When a mom finds herself pregnant under normal circumstances, resulting from a choice she freely made. So he's comparing this to if you've been raped or...
So he's saying, set that aside.
Yeah.
If you just have sex with somebody and get pregnant and you want an abortion, it's essentially saying it's their fault.
Right. And so he breaks it down and says, the baby's innocent. The pleasure of sin was pursued. And when the fruit of that pursuit is not wanted, that's an issue and it compounds the sin. But then he wanted to make sure to clarify, which I appreciate, because, Brian, a lot of people reach out to us and say, I disagree, and y'all said this. But he does something that we've encouraged as we try to model Christians having tough conversations and how to have it in a way that's godly and grace-giving. He said, I may have misunderstood. I thought Janelle was saying that more priority should be given to the mom instead of the unborn. So before we move on in terms of his position, I want to clarify what I was saying. The baby has priority, of course. It's a vulnerable life, and the Lord cares about the baby from conception. Absolutely.
So you weren't saying that the mother's more important than
the
baby?
What I was saying is they have equal importance in the eyes of the Lord. It may be different, but they're equal in terms of priority. I have an issue with the message that Christians are sending that the baby's more important, and I think that's part of where and why we're losing the battle. And I'll explain as we move on.
So his basic thesis is that babies are more important than the pregnant mother carrying them because she sinned, and so it's her fault, and the baby's innocent. Therefore, Christians ought to care more about the baby than the mother.
Mm-hmm.
That's his position?
Yeah.
I don't know why I have to pick one. I don't want to pick one.
Right. I'd have to think long and hard about that.
He did explain and compared it to like when we have babies. So you and I have multiple babies. Let's say you're having your...
Well, okay, this, just for clarity's sake, if someone's just tuning in, you have multiple babies with your husband.
And they're not like,
and
oh,
I have multiple
my goodness,
babies
yes.
with my wife.
Yeah, we have, and they're not babies anymore. They're grown. But he said, let's say you have two kids and then you're pregnant and you have a baby. He's saying the priority when that newborn is in your home is the newborn because they're helpless. And so the priority goes to that baby. And that's where, in terms of when you're saying pick, I don't think in that situation you even really pick. It's a different kind of priority. And we'll get into the biblical part of it a little later. But in terms of him explaining why they're a priority, when I would have my baby, the physical part of it, of course, is for the baby. But I was always mindful of how the siblings were receiving the baby. There were even times where I would nurse the baby and make it story time because I didn't want my child to feel, which can happen when you're nursing, hold up, I'm nursing the baby, go away or give me some time. Mm. So I would have the baby on one arm and then have the child on the other and read stories so they would make sure to know I'm good. My position hasn't changed.
So you're saying in your home, you would equally prioritize the infant and the toddler.
Right.
Or even the infant and the teenager, let's just say, if you end up in that position.
Right, right. In a different way. So I'm just saying equal priority, but definitely different because Arthur's saying the baby's vulnerable and
but
it's delicate.
Couldn't I make an equally valid argument that perhaps you ought to pay more attention to the postpartum mother? Because the baby, provided with has loving parents, will be cared for. Really, all it needs is rest and love and food and diaper changes. Mm-hmm. But she could be in danger of postpartum depression, which could threaten her life and the life of the children. And so couldn't I make an argument that she deserves more attention?
I think so. And as a woman that's had six kids, I actually wanted to start there and explain that more. Why that helps us win the battle when you do what you said and give more attention to the mom. Jamie in Pittsburgh, do you agree with Arthur that the baby has top priority?
Well, this is a tough topic, and I'm not laughing about the topic. I'm just laughing because, Brian, you have redeemed yourself in my eyes.
I have.
For the Mother's Day comment that you made when you were saying it's not my responsibility to buy my wife a gift.
Yes.
Okay, so what, said, what did I do?
When you said, what about the postpartum mother? I said, yes, Brian, yes.
Hey, wow. See? I'm not all bad.
Yeah.
I don't know, Janelle, you must be a saint, but I get super sterile when I am breastfeeding. And when I was breastfeeding and my toddler, he just wanted to be near me. He loved the baby. He loved me. And I was constantly saying, you know, leave mommy alone.
Yeah.
Give mommy some space. Mommy's trying to feed the baby. And so it was hard.
Yeah, it is hard. It's very hard. But you're still mindful, Jamie, of both children, right?
Absolutely.
I learned that the hard way when I had my second baby the first one took it hard. And so I was just mindful of, it's not just the baby that's here, the newborn, but I also love and care about my other children, and they're vulnerable in different ways as well. What do you think, Jamie, about Arthur's comments in the context of abortion? Do we prioritize the unborn over the mom?
Well, when you first mentioned it, I believe Christians do kind of prioritize the baby over the mom. And I kind of agreed with that comment. But like Brian said, it's something to think about long and hard, because you want to value the mother's life as well and not shame the mother for their sins.
Yeah.
You know, Jamie, we were having that conversation off air just a minute ago, that this is a tough one for those same reasons. Now, I know we all agree that we're all made in the image of God. Therefore, all life has that value to the Lord. So yeah. He loves the mother just as much as he loves the baby. And I think Arthur's point's a good one, that, of course, the baby is exceptionally vulnerable, right? But I don't think we can then brush off the idea the mother isn't vulnerable.
Right.
And here's what I mean by that. I think the exception is the woman who goes, oh, whatever, I'm pregnant, I can't wait to go and destroy this thing. Most women who go in for abortion are vulnerable in some measure, in some way, as in they're economically vulnerable, they're relationally vulnerable, whatever it is, they're struggling in some way. And I hear this from pregnancy centers. And so whose vulnerability as a believer, when we're supposed to protect the vulnerable, do we prioritize if they're both vulnerable?
I would absolutely agree with that, because I actually had my first child out of wedlock. So I can't speak from, you know, the other side, because I had the loving support of the family. I had support. So abortion never once crossed my mind.
Yeah.
I was in a relationship with the father too. So had my circumstances been different, maybe it would have crossed my mind. No, had I been struggling to survive myself or been in an abusive relationship, but I had support. So my heart goes out to those women who don't.
Right.
Yeah. And tied to that, and I appreciate your vulnerability on that. I have to wonder what message we send as believers if we're essentially saying the baby matters and the mom doesn't.
And is that really the essence of pro-life? If we care about life, we care about her. And if we understand and recognize, obviously we care about the baby's life in the womb and when the baby comes out, what environment is that baby coming out in? If the mom feels like, I can't do this, shouldn't that be part of us caring for the mom, right, Jamie?
Yes, absolutely. I'm also involved in a lot of the local pregnancy centers, and that's something that they really talk about, is supporting the mom. And we have programs in place that support the mom and the father and the family as a whole. So I think plugging those women into a local agency that is supportive will do great things.
Jamie, have you called before?
Maybe.
Well, I'm so glad you called today, especially since Brian has redeemed himself and you made sure, because he needs redemption. Woo! Oh, all kinds. Thank you, Jamie, for calling. This text came
in. But you're not going to send her a mug?
Oh, well, Jamie, well, what is she still on?
Yeah, she's still
okay,
there.
Okay, Jamie. Oh, well, Jamie, do you want a bunk? We haven't given you a mug, correct? Well, there you go. So hang on. You know why you're doing this, right?
I do exactly. I've redeemed myself. She deserves a prize for
saying
that.
There you go. Don't stay on hold, and Kelly will get your information to send you our mug.
Yeah, the third edition collector's item, Brian and Janelle coffee tumbler, and courtesy of Scranton Road Promotional Marketing. Invest in the city. You stay on hold. Jamie will send that to you, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks so much, friend.
Someone just sends a text saying, all are equal. He's quoting Galatians 3:28. There is no longer Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus, and saying all are equal, including the baby, including people who have sinned, the mom, because guess what? We're all sinners.
Amen.
But see, what's most interesting is Arthur thought that you said the mom is more important and you didn't.
No, I didn't.
And his response wasn't, they're both important. His response was, nope, the baby's the priority.
The baby's a priority.
The mother is not a priority.
One of the
I was just surprised by that response.
Yeah.
That's almost the other extreme.
And it sounds very much like our message and the way the world's receiving it, which was part of my point that day. So what I did say is we should care more about the mom. And I can understand Arthur, if you misunderstood that, I wasn't saying more for the mom than the baby, more than we are right now.
Right.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
What's happening right now is our message is we care about the unborn, and we're saying that so loudly that if you do care about the mom, it's coming across like you solely care about the baby. And pro-life is about the womb, where I care about the mom, and I'm sure a lot of people listening, and the baby, and what happens to the baby when the baby's born. Is it well-fed? What environment are they growing up in? One example about loving the mom and how that turns into loving the baby. When I had children, one of the things that bothered me is how in the first few weeks, all people would ask me is, how's the baby? How's the baby? And I felt ignored. And there were, especially in those weeks where you're vulnerable and your hormones and all that, and you talked about postpartum blues or postpartum depression, and there were nurses that got it, and the first question would be, how are you doing? And that question obviously is about me, but it's about the baby. If I'm not well, that baby's not well.
Right.
Yeah. And see, we didn't even think about that perspective until Sarah struggled with postpartum depression. And it was in the aftermath of it. Praise the Lord, she came through it. But we became almost, and with the later pregnancies, more concerned about her. Because we were like, listen, the baby, the baby's going to be fine.
Yeah.
They're healthy when they're born, so we'll feed them and all that. But are you okay, Sarah? That was what we were really focused on. Anyway.
Deborah in Cleveland, what are your thoughts?
Janelle, you are spot on. I have an interesting story, but you're right. One of the reasons why the pro-life movement turns a lot of people off is it almost seems to ignore the mother totally.
Yeah.
She just happens to be carrying around a uterus.
Yes. yes.
And that just does not build empathy if you want somebody to join your movement. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't.
Oh, I love that. Yes, Deborah.
But when I was pregnant, just to let you know, even in the broader scheme, what happens is I was pregnant and I am a what they call a high-risk pregnancy. And in order for me to bring my baby to term, I had to be on bed rest. Mm-hmm. Well, in order for the insurance to honor my disability request, stay off work, they had to determine that it was me that was in danger. They weren't concerned about whether or not the baby was in danger.
Huh.
I had to determine that it was my health that was the problem.
Hmm.
Now, once I became able to go to the hospital, because, of course, I went into labor early, because I always go into labor early. I've actually lost a child because of early labor.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
So when I say high risk, it's like I've never carried a baby to term. Never.
Wow.
And so when I went to the hospital, I was in contractions and it was early. But at that time, it switched and they said, we've got you, but you've got the baby. So we need you to stay in contractions for a long time because that baby needs to stay in you as long as possible. And so I was in labor for 32 hours to give this baby more time.
God bless you. Janelle wasn't in labor that long.
Right.
So I've been on both sides of it. The insurance company was more concerned about me. The hospital knew I was going to be okay, but they said, we've got to look at giving this baby more time in the womb. So it's not as simple as the people who seem to march outside with these pictures of a uterus and all this other stuff. It's bigger and more nuanced than that. And I think if you want people to join the pro-life movement and understand that, we have to take a more nuanced approach because it does involve the mother and the child.
Yes. Yeah. And that was the point we were making a few weeks ago was when we're up against multiple Supreme Court defeats when it comes to putting up obstacles to abortion and trying to promote a pro-life cause. And we have public opinion, the vast majority of the public being comfortable with abortion. If we keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result, that's called insanity.
Right.
And so if our goal is to protect babies, do we have to rethink our strategy to do so? And I think, Deborah, there's even a new layer to that. And here's the new layer. We have to understand that people who don't follow Jesus don't think it's a baby.
It's like talking two different languages. You're protecting right. something that they're thinking, that's not even a thing, right? Yeah. And so they're consumed with their circumstances.
So could we save more babies if we paid special attention to mothers? Since they don't even agree with us, it's a baby.
That's right.
Right.
And if our goal is to save babies, even yeah. though it might not feel right to care more about the mom than the baby, if it saves more babies, why not do it?
Right.
That's my theory, right. at least.
Yeah. You've got to have a more nuanced approach. And
yes.
for other people who accept that it's a baby and they're going through this with fear and trepidation and all this anxiety, then we have to send the message that we care about you after the baby is here.
Hello. Amen. And that's not happening enough, Deborah.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's like, okay, I brought the baby here. Now you're gone. The flag, you know, the banners are gone. You know, the chanting
that's
is
right.
gone and I'm stuck.
And in the end, you'll even hear people arguing about, well, go to work or you're not working hard. And like you hear that. And so it's conflicting with our message about gospel, about yeah. really pro-life. Do you
right.
care about my five-year-old that needs
yes.
lunch at school? I do
yes.
want to mention there are people that have been doing it. I've mentioned Alterniterm in the Heights area. We're involved with Cleveland
Pregnancy Center.
Yes. There's Micah 6-8. It's an RV where they actually, if the woman does keep the baby, they walk with her. It's happening.
But that's mm-hmm. the nuance, Janelle. I want to jump in here because
yes.
the nuance is the political, ideological message of being pro-life has one message.
Yeah.
But when you go to
right.
pregnancy centers that are pro-life, they're doing what you both are saying.
Yes,
right.
they are.
They are equally
right.
caring for the mother and the baby, and they're
right.
doing great work in that.
But
you
people
know.
Don't know they are there.
Yeah,
right.
exactly.
They lift those up.
They're busy doing the work. You got other people.
Yeah.
That are just sending the message
yes.
on social media, yeah. perhaps,
yes.
or interpersonally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say it's more important, but that has equal weight in its impact in a society that doesn't think it's a baby.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Deborah, you bring up some great points.
You are awesome, Deborah.
Ooh.
Well, thank you. I love your show.
Right now, we're revisiting a conversation we had 2 weeks ago, and someone's pushing back at me and saying,
yes.
well, Janelle, I know you love that part. They had an issue with me talking about the mom being a priority and being someone we should care about in the context of abortion. And so Arthur emailed and said the baby has top priority. I did say I appreciated that he asked for me to clarify and said maybe I misunderstood because I misinterpreted what Janelle was implying. And so I did say we should care more about the mom. And the clarification is not more about the mom than the baby, but more than what we are already caring about. And let the world know Jesus cares about the baby and Jesus cares about the mom
yeah.
equally. Jeff in Nashville, what are your thoughts?
I kind of agree with this last lady that spoke there. She had some very good points about the mother. And I guess I'm thinking that the mother is a priority and stuff, and why she should have to make this decision on abortion
mm-hmm.
is beyond me. I'm wondering where the fathers are in this circumstance.
Yeah.
It's a great question, and it's one where I think increasingly pregnancy centers are reaching out to dads mm-hmm. for couples in crisis. In fact, I moderated for Cleveland Pregnancy Center
yeah.
a discussion with four men who are still living with the decision and the regret and the hurt of choosing abortion with someone that they
yeah.
were for their baby. So it's a good point.
Being mindful of the dad, but then also being careful how we talk about the mom, because
yeah.
it sounds a lot like the people that brought the woman caught in adultery to Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like, hello, did y'all like check on the guys that were sleeping with her? When we talk about the woman and what some say, well, you know, the pleasure of sin.
That's what
there
Arthur
were
said.
Two there. Yeah.
Yep.
There were two people there. And I think we, our lack of grace and mercy to the woman because she's the one carrying. I care about the vulnerable and the baby. What I'm saying is she needs to be a part of that discussion of grace and compassion.
And see, that's the perfect parallel, right? Because one of Arthur's points was the reason the baby gets priority is because, well, you got pregnant because you were having some fun having sex.
Yeah.
And so you were sinning, and that's the consequence for that is you don't get prioritized. And you're right. Think of the story in the scripture of a woman dragged in front of a crowd of people holding stones where Jesus was. And she would, let's not minimize this. She was caught in the act of adultery.
Right.
Someone caught her having sex with someone.
Yeah.
That's not her husband. And dragged her in front of people to be killed.
Only her.
Only her.
Right.
And Jesus' response was, you are without sin, cast the first stone. Everybody dropped their stones and walked away. And he looked at her and said, go and sin no more. He showed her grace and compassion.
And addressed the sin.
Right.
So it's not just grace, like, oh, you're good. You're good. And so the other thing I was going to
say, like, did you like that?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Throw the rocks.
But in the sin part, how do we differentiate one from the other? How do you know what happened with that woman, how she got herself in that situation? In terms of us knowing.
We can't know.
Yeah, we can't know. And so we have to be kind of like in that story, very much about grace and very mindful of our own sin as we approach her and engage with her.
Yeah, and I just don't think we're going to save more babies by being even slightly dismissive of the mother.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to compare apples and apples here in terms of someone's vulnerability, I mean, physiologically, the baby's way more vulnerable than the mom.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yes.
That's objectively the case.
Absolutely.
But how are we going to save a baby by minimizing her vulnerability? Not that it's the same, but it's still a thing.
Right. And what do you think about this text? The person says, murder is never the option. If mom is not capable of caring for the child, this great country has things such as adoption in place. Is that a solution? You should just hold on and give it up for adoption.
You can't force her to adopt the child, first of all. So even if it's available, it might not be an option that particular mother would want to take up.
Because I think that also kind of flippantly minimizes the emotional turmoil of giving your child up for adoption.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have time to give you the whole story here, but my mother was adopted and for a number of reasons ended up reconnecting with her birth mother many years later. And her birth mother carried the pain of giving up her daughter for so many years that when they finally reconciled and found each other like 25, 30 years later, her birth mother still had the address of the adoption agency that was all the way across the country in her wallet. I mean, I don't want to look at a pregnant woman and go, just give it up.
Yes.
Because that removes the emotional pain of doing so. We just assume that if you're willing to kill the baby, you're going to give it up apathetically.
Right.
And I think that's dismissive of the motive of why she's at that place.
And as we're mindful of that, it maximizes where we can come in. If we care about the baby, then it should be about caring for his or her mom and empowering her to care for and stay with the baby. It's a unit. It should be looked at as a unit. A family is a unit. So think about the dad, think about the mom as you love and care and protect the baby. Are you happy now that I had to like?
Yeah, it's about time. So
it's about
time. Usually I'm doing that.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry we couldn't get to everybody's calls and comments, but again, Janelle's right. Go to Facebook and YouTube. We'll be live continuing this discussion here. We'll keep talking about this issue tied to abortion on Brian and Janelle Overtime.
That's right. We'll share some of your texts there and we'll continue the conversation. If you're on YouTube, you can comment. We see your comments and you can be part of the discussion. And also go to Facebook, look up Brian and Janelle for Overtime at 9:05. Hasta luego, familia. Hey, hold up. Where are you going? You know you liked your time with us. You want more. So look down, hit that button right there, subscribe, and you'll get updated episodes, and then you can hang some more.
And guess what? You can help us. How? A 5-star rating.
You can also hang with us live weekday 6 to 9 a.m. Interact with us, talk with us. Download the Moody Radio app.
Or at brianandjanelle.org.
And we don't put all this together all by ourselves. There's some great people behind all this production. We want to thank Ron Eastwood, Kelly Ryder, Paul Carter, Doug Hainer, Mike Reynolds, and our awesome and fearless leader, Josue Villa.
And finally, this podcast is a production of Moody Radio in Cleveland, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.
Well, Brian, that's a wrap.
Yep.